Welcome to Improv 409, the podcast that shines a spotlight on the improv community right here in Toledo, Ohio. Each episode, I'll sit down with local performers to talk about what makes improv exciting, terrifying, hilarious, and life-changing. You'll get behind-the-scenes stories, personal journeys, and maybe a few scenes and laughs along the way. If you've ever wondered what really happens on and off the stage, or if you've thought, improv sounds fun, but I could never, then you're in the right place. You'll get the Improv 411 here on Improv 419. I'm your host, Lindsay, and welcome. I'm excited to introduce to you my second guest and amazing Bingo Rich teammate, Liz Gordon. Hi, Liz.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Yeah,
thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm so happy I can get to talk to you more and learn your experiences with improv. I guess let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
Where did you start doing improv?
Yeah. Back in high school, I did theater, and we would do a lot of improv warm-ups, so I always loved doing that when I was a kid. I would watch improv in college and was curious about it, but really I didn't start really doing improv until just after the pandemic. I had moved to the Toledo area, and I didn't really have many friends. I worked from home, and so I was like, how am I going to make friends? So I found Glass City Improv and decided to take a class, and I've been doing it pretty much since 2021.
That's awesome. So what drew you to improv?
Well, in college, I remember going to shows. I lived in Ann Arbor. They had, at the University of Michigan, they had this show or this group called Comco, and it was a free like comedy group, and I would go watch their shows, and I always thought it was a fun time to watch. And I thought it was kind of an interesting idea to just get on stage without a script.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thrilling, really, to do. And really, the other motivator was to find friends. I can't emphasize this enough. And once I did start doing the classes back in 2021, I found such a cool community. Like, all of my friends in this town have some sort of improv connection. They really make the best friends.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, the people that flock to this art form.
Yes.
They seem to have the same, I don't know, sensibilities or just silliness.
Dare I say yes and?
Yes.
Type of vibes?
I think that's clever. And yes and, they do. Do you find your, like, theater acting coming into play?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm certainly not a professional theater person, but it definitely lends itself to doing improv, like being comfortable on the stage and in the space, and then projecting your voice, finding characters. So I definitely lean on that background.
I see that in your scenes, actually, a lot. Like, I think your projection is really great. Like, you're not afraid to go out and just, like, start playing the biggest, yelliest character.
Yeah, I do.
I'm envious of that.
I do tend to go for big characters. It's where I'm most comfortable, probably.
Yeah. Do you feel that in your real life as well, or it's like this is your escape on the stage to let that out?
I think, really, when I'm on stage, I'm not me. It feels, or I'm not Liz. I'm this character. I do think I am fairly theatrical, just with how I talk. Yeah. Often.
That's really funny. I feel like I don't have that same skill set to be loud on stage.
You know what's funny, though? I think, like, each person who does improv brings their own little flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when I watch your scenes, I'm always like, wow, she is so grounded and clever. Like, I wish I could have this fast, witty, like, talking, like, be very clever with what I'm about to say with a joke, or be like two steps ahead of the joke.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's very nice. We're on a team together, Bingo
Rich.
We
are, yes.
That's definitely worth mentioning. That's been very fun playing with you the last year.
Yeah.
Now I think it's been.
Yeah, because it all started because we went through all the classes at Glass City. There's three levels and a sketch class. And I had done the levels a couple times because I just wanted to keep doing improv.
Yeah, you can't stop.
Yeah, and we had some drop-ins where people would come and just meet up, and we'd do some practices, and we found that there was a group of us that just kept showing up to these drop-ins. So we're like, why don't we actually just make a team? And so now we meet regularly and do some shows here and there.
Yeah. Get to practice once a week for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great creative outlet.
Mm. Do you find that playing with new people, you learn from?
Oh, yeah.
Like their skill set too?
Yeah. I think it's a good exercise because, well, on both sides, I really like getting to know deeply a group of people and getting to do improv with them because it's like I kind of know where we're going to go. I can read that person's body language better after I know them for a while. But there is something exciting about just getting on stage with a random person that you don't know and just like finding the game of the scene.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of like the epitome of improv. Where yeah. You don't know the person and you don't know what's going to happen next.
We're just going up there and we're going to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious if when you look back at your like 2021 Liz that was just signing up for level one, how do you feel now?
Oh, yeah.
When you perform or when you think of improv?
Much looser, much more just ready to do whatever when I get on the stage. I find that, like, we're just playing pretend. Mm-hmm. I think I would get in my head a lot. I still get in my head a lot. But initially, I'd get in my head and be like, oh, gosh, am I going to say the funniest thing? But after a while, I had to start telling myself, fun, not funny. Like, just focus on having fun on stage and don't focus on trying to be funny because ultimately that's a recipe for disaster when you're trying to make the jokes.
Yeah, I love that. Fun, not funny. Do you have anything that helps you when you're stuck in that headspace, like in a practice or a performance, like on the stage?
Yeah, moving my body. I find if I'm stuck up in my head and trying to talk a lot, then it's not going to go well. Mm-hmm. But like if I start to get stuck, if I just start moving my body, like changing the sound of my voice a little bit, then I can tend to find a character.
I like that a lot. I'm taking mental notes for myself. Like, okay, I'm going to start moving more. Are there tips that similar to that that you would give to a new person, a fresh person entering level
one?
Sure.
I mean, that's a good question. I just took a big like week long intensive, and so I learned so many tips. I think one of them, for me, I would always get stuck when we would get the audience suggestion. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, a paperclip. Thanks for that audience suggestion of a paperclip. What are we going to do with it? It's like, oh, am I going to go do an office scene? Or, you know, it's just a little, I don't want it to be boring.
Mm-hmm.
But
and you can't take the time to be like, okay, let me think of the best idea.
Yeah. Right, and then I would just freeze on the back line and then I wouldn't get into the scene.
Yep.
And so at this workshop that I took, they talked about when you hear your suggestion, maybe think about what is the emotion that suggestion makes you feel? Or what is what does that idea make you feel? Instead of like going into a scene about a paperclip.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of paperclip, a paperclip's trying to hold stuff together. Oh my gosh, I'm a woman who's trying to just hold it together. And then I've found a character and I found a perspective that I can have on the stage. And so once I know who I am on the stage, we can find what we're talking about. Like, as long as I know who I am.
How cool. Yeah, because then you know what the want is of that item or the character that you're making, like humanizing a paperclip.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the joys of improv, where you take that very silly idea and you turned it into like a whole person. Like I saw her in that character just now.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
And I think too, like the other thing is when you get out on stage, maybe it just is a big old stinker. Maybe you didn't do anything with it. That's okay. Sweep it and keep moving. That's what I would tell a person in level one.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have a really lame scene because you might have another scene and it might be a hit and nobody's going to remember that really bad scene. I find that with improv, it's really helped me get out of my head and about being a perfectionist. Like, I can just go up, I can say the weird thing, I can be a little weirdo, and we'll move on. And often a lot of people like it.
Those are the best scenes.
Yeah.
And you're surrounded by weirdos that are, you know, there to support you and also be, you know, a paperclip.
Exactly. A delightful bunch of weirdos.
Yeah. With the intensive that you went on.
Yeah.
Did you find like the camaraderie there too with the people that were playing?
Yeah, it was really cool. So I went to Chicago and took a week-long intensive at the Annoyance Theater it was surprising. There was only actually two people from Chicago in the group.
Oh, wow.
There was 16 of us and very international group. We had folks from Germany, from Switzerland, China, and then all over the U.S. And they did a great job of, like, getting us working together. By the end of it, we have a group chat that everybody's still texting in, like, weeks later.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Improv really does build a community. Like, no matter where you're from, you just show up and now you're making friends.
Literally. One of the women was like, I'm going to be sending you some sewing supplies. We're going to stay in touch.
What a dream.
Right? Yeah.
I feel like Toledo, we're really building up that community here, too.
Oh,
like,
I agree.
I'm so thankful to be a part of it and, like, be able to meet everybody and play with everyone.
I find it so funny. I invited a friend to one of our shows, The Monthly. Every person almost in the audience I knew or is, like, I'm friends with. Mm-hmm. And they left and they're like, wow, you have a lot of friends. I was like, I've achieved my initial goal. I made friends.
Yeah, it seems like you're famous almost. Like, you get off stage and everyone's like, oh, great show. Like, everyone's coming up.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about performing?
Oh, you know, it's not actually about being on stage in front of the audience. My favorite part is really our practices. Like, it's fairly low stakes and it's just getting up and playing pretend. Like, I don't have to think about work. I don't have to think of all my responsibilities at home. I don't even have to think about, like, how I'm being perceived as a person. I just get to go up and embody a character and just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like being a kid again.
Yeah, I compare the experience to, like, recess.
Yeah.
It feels like it's free time from classes, and now you just get to run around the playground with your friends.
Yeah.
And it's very fun.
And it's fun to see other adults, like, be loose and fun. And just to yes and your jokes or, like, I find, like, oh, God, what if I make a joke and it's awkward? They'll just go with it and we'll, like, make more of a joke of it.
Yeah, again, the yes and experience of it all.
Yeah.
Escalate whatever the situation is. Are there people at work and stuff? Are you improv there now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it lends itself in multiple ways because even if I'm not being silly goofy, you know, I might have a meeting pop up that I need to present at. Mm-hmm. Like, just this week I had one where I had to go meet with our senior director, and, like, it was the day before. I didn't have any time to prepare anything, but I was ready to be like, yep, okay, I feel good. Like, I can go into this meeting. I can talk about the points that we need to, and I've gotten less in my head from those scenarios.
That's an amazing skill to have.
Yeah,
I feel like, because, you're just ready to jump in and, I don't know, make it up as you go along.
It's funny. I'm actually in a few sketches coming up where Glass City Improv is doing some shows, and having to memorize lines now. Like, that felt like the safe place before, but now I'm like, oh, gosh, I have to memorize this and be prepared?
Yeah, you have to, like, prepare months ahead of time.
What?
I'm very excited for that show.
Yes.
How do you feel? Because you're doing improv.
Yep.
Also, it's going to be several nights of sketches and improv here in Toledo. And you'll be on both sides of the things.
Yes, I've got a sketch in the show, and I'm acting in a few other sketches. And then the next day, Bingo Rich is doing their thing.
Yep.
And then I'm actually, for the first time, this is going to be new, my friend Sally and I, we're going to be doing a duo.
That's so cool.
I've never done a duo, which is funny. But just the two of us are going to be up on stage for a long form set. And we're planning to do it around, like, a reality TV-based theme.
Mm.
So stay tuned.
I'm
might
very
be good,
excited.
Might not, I don't know.
No, it'll be great. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
Have you and Sally performed on teams together?
We took, like, she was in my first class, and we always just vibed. Like, we mirror each other really well. She does big energy well. So I'm really excited to just play with her on stage again, because it's probably been about a year since we've been doing improv together.
Oh, wow. I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah.
It's very fun. Did you write any sketches?
I did. Yeah, I've got one called Tube Steaks and Potatoes.
I remember. I remember Tube Steaks. We were in a sketch class together.
Yes.
And that was one of the weeks that you had right. submitted for.
Yes, but we couldn't perform it because I was on vacation for our show. So yeah. This is the first time Tube Steaks has come into life.
Wow, very lucky audience.
I know, yeah.
And you're bootless.
Yeah, right. Yeah. During that sketch class, I did break my foot. Mm-hmm. Not in the class. You're not going to break your foot in the sketch class.
No, but it's a safe environment right. for everybody. You said you still get kind of scared before you go perform.
Yeah.
Do you have like any tricks that you do to push through that?
Yeah. Well, I think that fun, not funny, I'll literally just like say that in my head. Have fun. Don't try to be funny. And then this is kind of a silly one. Before shows, on my drive-in, I have a new metal playlist with a lot of like Limp Bizkit and Korn on it.
Heck yeah.
Just really jam out to that. And then again, back to like moving my body. If I'm moving my body, I'm not in my head. But I do think it's good to have a little bit of fear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be too confident when you're out on that stage. If you have a little bit of fear, you know, that something good might happen.
How do you feel after a performance usually?
I feel like there aren't any times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I've bombed so bad that I'm embarrassed. There's times where I'm like, yeah, that was a bit of a stinker. But generally speaking, it's a little bit of an adrenaline rush. Like, wow, that felt good. I put myself out there and I had fun. Yeah, it's a little bit of a high afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. It's a daring thing to do.
Yeah. We're not skydiving, but hey, we're putting...
Yeah, the body still reacts like it.
Yeah.
Were you the same when you first started?
I was way more in my head when I first started. Like when I did like my first monthly show, I was the whole time I was like trying to be funny and... It wasn't very good. But really finding that mantra of like, just have fun has really helped. But yeah, I think also just repetition and practice.
I was going to say, like, it feels like with improv, you kind of have to go through the being bad sometimes, like phase of things. Like you have to just accept that it will be a learning experience for the next time you perform.
Oh, for sure.
Hopefully.
And I think it's also good just to know, like, maybe I did not do well, but nothing bad happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, low stakes.
Yeah.
Is there, like, an influence, like, for you, a comedic influence that you...
I don't know that I have a comedic influence for my, like, improv itself, but I definitely listen to a lot of comedy podcasts. Like, I love Mike Birbiglia's show, Sarah Silverman... I love like Alana Glazer and Abby Jacobson. Yeah. I like a lot of people who play big characters.
Yeah. They are really great. I love Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
Is there a time when, have you thought of doing like stand up too?
Oh God, no.
No?
No, I actually have no interest in doing stand up whatsoever because here's my theory. With improv, the audience wants you to be good. They want to be in this experience with you, and we're having fun. I feel like with stand-up, you gotta like earn the respect of the audience. And I don't want to be heckled. I just don't have that constitution.
Yeah, it does seem like as soon as you walk out, they're like, I dare you to make me laugh.
Yeah, like, okay, you think you're funny? Cool.
Prove it. Yeah, stand-up seems really difficult. I plan to maybe speak to some stand-ups here because, like, nice, Emily Garrow, and she does a mix of both. I think Ocean also does both.
Yeah.
So they do overlap, but completely different worlds.
Completely different worlds. Mm-hmm. Respect it, though. I definitely respect it.
Yeah.
Getting up there alone just with your jokes.
Yeah. And that's another thing, like, having to prepare.
Yes.
You don't have to really prepare for improv. You can just show up.
Yes.
Like, you have to write full set for stand-up.
And it's funny. Like, in high school... I was the kid who was so stressed about grades. I was like, everything had to be perfect. And now I'm like, I don't want to prepare for anything. I just want to show up.
Do you think improv put you into that place? Or
yeah, I definitely feel like it's contributed to it. Yeah. Like, I like that I can just show up to something and feel ready. Like, even with an interview like this, like, I think past me would have, like, thought about what are some things that I want to say and how do I say it well? And maybe practiced it, but I don't know. I feel like it's more fun to come into it with an open mind.
Yeah, it's freeing.
Yeah.
And then you don't overthink. I think that's kind of what improv teaches overall, is like, don't overthink it. Like, the first thing, just go with it.
Yeah.
and everything will be okay.
Exactly. Some people do yoga. Some people meditate. We're doing improv to be in the moment.
Make believe.
Yes.
You said you don't invite anybody to shows. Can I bring that up? I don't have to.
No, it's fine. It's funny. I talk about improv all the time. I love improv. Mm-hmm. I obviously went to Chicago for a week to take an intensive. I also like don't. I feel like if you watch TV shows, a lot of people make fun of people who do improv. And I never want to be that person that's like, hey, come to my improv show. I'm going to be so funny. Because you never know if it's going to be funny or not. I always give a little disclaimer of, if you're coming, it might not be funny, but it's going to be a good time overall.
Yeah, I say the same sentence to people. I'm like, I can't guarantee that this will be the best show you ever see. I'm like, but we're all going to have a great time.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know what that fear is. I was asking kind of for myself because I also don't invite anybody ever.
Right.
And now here we are on a microphone.
Talking about
announcing
improv.
That we love improv.
Yeah. So friends, if you do come, just know it might not be funny. But yeah.
We love it so much, but there is a weird internalized shame
I know.
For doing it.
Yeah. And you know what my theory is? Everybody who's writing these TV shows who make fun of improv, all of them did improv. So I think
Absolutely.
It's like a whole bit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we would make fun of improv more than anybody, I feel like.
Yeah.
But that could be like a psychological get ahead of the game
right.
of We're... the bullies or something.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Like, you can't make fun of me. I am.
I already know. I already know it's maybe a little lame, but it's fun.
Have you been practicing for your duo coming up?
We had a meeting and we talked. Actually, this might be a fun little thing to talk about. I learned during that workshop at Annoyance, we took a like little section or like an extra workshop that was about genre. Mm-hmm. So they have a genre show called Hitch Cocktails, where they do an hour-long set that's in the theme of Hitchcock. And it's Hitch Cocktails because they also get drunk while doing it. But we learned about, like, when you're looking at these different genres, they have certain tropes that reoccur. So with reality TV, what are some common tropes? Can I pull you for a chat? Or, like, giving somebody a rose? Or, you know what I'm saying.
Fooling around with the host.
Fooling around. If it's a rom-com, you know, they might be going to a Christmas tree farm. They might be a woman who is a hardened corporate woman, and she goes home and she finds a man to fall in love with, and she wants to stay in the small town. All of that to say, we were finding, like, what are the common tropes? Who are the common characters that show up in these shows? And then where are the common settings? And so when Sally and I were preparing, we were talking about reality TV and what were the tropes, the characters, and the settings. So that kind of helped us build out some infrastructure of characters or potential places we could take the show. But again, it'll all come down to, like, what's the suggestion?
What advice would you give people that are afraid to step into the improv performing world?
The advice I'd give is just to do it. To challenge yourself and to take a level one class, because nobody's going to be perfect when they first try improv. I certainly wasn't. I'm not perfect now. But the level one really opens people up, makes people really comfortable. We play a lot of short form games, and it's just a lot of fun. So, like, even if you're afraid, that means you should probably try it. Push yourself, right?
I agree 100%.
I've got a couple people in life who always get a little curious about improv with me, and I'm like, just come take a class.
Yeah.
Or go see a show.
That phrase, like, it's like dipping their toe into the pool. I'm like, no, just jump into it. Like,
yeah.
Don't be afraid of it.
Right.
Are you open to doing some improv now?
Hey, let's give it a go. Like we said before, we'll see how this goes.
So we got the suggestion of a vase from our producer.
Let's kick it off. Yes, I'm looking for a vase.
Oh, yes, miss, you've come to the right place. This is Vase and More.
Oh, my goodness, I have come to the right place. But I need a particular vase, you see. I don't know if I should tell you this, but my husband is dead.
My condolences, Mom.
Yeah. And I need to put him in the vase.
Oh.
Do you have any vases that would hold a semi-large man?
I think we have quite an array of options for you, miss.
Oh, please.
Please follow
me. Please explain them to me.
All right. So, as you can see on this shelf, we have quite a few obscure selections. This one shaped like a basketball. Was he a sports fan, your husband?
He had very weak knees. I don't know that he would really appreciate the joke.
How unfortunate. This one, a hammer? Was he a
I was always calling him a handyman. He never handled anything in the house.
I think maybe these exquisite vases that I'm showing you here are too good for your belated husband.
You see me. You understand what I've gone through. I think you're right. What are you doing after your shift?
Oh, my.
I mean, is that uncouth of me to suggest that perhaps?
So soon.
I mean, the marriage was over long before he died.
You're carrying his ashes in a Ziploc there.
In my hands, I am. And you know, Bertram really deserves to see this. He never satisfied me.
Well, maybe he can learn a thing or two if you want to.
If you're willing to teach him.
There's a Wendy's across the street.
Oh, Lord. How did you know that I have a Frosty? On my key ring here, I have the little Frosty card. I get a free Frosty with every purchase.
I could see it in your eyes.
I am a woman who loves a discount.
And your pigtails.
Mm-hmm.
You seemed like a Wendy's fan.
Yes. Yes, she is. A wonderful woman. But what brought you here today?
It's my usual 9 to 5.
Yes, of course it's your 9 to 5. But what brought you here? Here?
Oh, the existentialism you've brought in today.
I need depth. Luna, I need depth.
I'm as shallow as these vases behind me.
I don't believe that. There's a twinkle in your eye that tells me that there's something deeper in you.
I don't know if I can release it here. That's, I feel
do
quite
you not
vulnerable.
Do you not trust me?
Oh, that look in your eyes. I can't even walk
tell
away.
Tell me your deepest secret.
I don't actually work here. I've just been sneaking in.
Have you been watching me?
I knew your husband passed some days ago. And that you would be needing a vase.
I don't mean... You didn't have a part of what happened.
Oh my gosh. How could you possibly think?
Luna. You look familiar.
Diane.
How'd you know my name?
I mean...
You're wearing a name tag. I'm not. How did you know my name?
Your eyes, again. They were calling out Wendy's Frosties and Diane.
You knew that I had a tag on my key ring that would get us free Frosties.
It's true.
Luna.
I can't deny it anymore, Diane.
You slipped those peanuts into his food. You did it for us.
Bertram, he could never satisfy you.
He couldn't.
He was a McDonald's man.
I was not McLoving it. But I don't know. I don't know that I can be with a criminal.
I haven't been caught yet. We could run away together.
Where do you want to go?
We can go as far west is Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. It's the land of dreams.
They'll never find us there.
Ever. Who goes to Indianapolis?
And we can leave Bertram in the dust. As dust.
As dust.
And scene.
And scene.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Liz. Like, it's It's been such a pleasure to talk to you more.
Thank you for having me. This was a ton of fun.
Any final words you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, just go find an improv class. Put yourself out there, people. It's so much fun. And if you're like, hey, I need friends, do what Liz did. Go take an improv class.
And make all the friends.
That's right, make so many friends.
Thank you to WGTE, Voices Around Us, and our producer, Chris Pfeiffer, for making this podcast possible. And of course, thank you to today's guests for sharing their stories and their love of improv. You can find Improv 419 at wgte.org/improv419 or any podcast streaming platform. And finally, thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in and supporting. Please check out the other wonderful podcasts, part of the Voices Around Us series, and stay tuned for more Improv 419 episodes.
WGTE. Voices Around Us.